Good Thursday evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the WEOL Cobos Insurance Center Weekly Wrestling Recap. It's presented by Century 21, Deanna Family Realty, Tim Elkhorn, along with Sean Bennett from the Chronicle-Telegram. We get together each and every week here on AM 930 WEOL to talk high school wrestling as far as what may have happened on the mats in the past weekend and what's coming up in the weekend that we are about to face. So glad to have you with us on this Thursday night. Sean Bennett, welcome back. I know you were on vacation last week. Great job by Brad Bornable as he filled in for you. And while you were out getting some R&R, there was plenty of action on the mats.
Yeah, and I also want to thank Brad. You know, he's a high level. He's pretty much does in Medina County what I do here in Lorain County. You know, won the media award down there in Columbus as I did last year. He won it in years past. So really big props to him. You didn't really miss a beat with him kind of talking about some of these teams that he's helped cover for the Chronicle Telegram. So, but yeah, great a week. As much as there wasn't action between the 1 week, now we've had like a ton of action. All these holiday tournaments took place, and some big performances on the mat. You know, and pretty much everybody in Lorain County was in action this week.
And as you and I talked about in our weekly wrestling video that just got released earlier today on the Chronicle site and on the WEOL site, we're really now in the thick of things. We're about halfway through. You get through that holiday season. Now is when it really picks up momentum.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, it's halfway through about the regular season. Sectionals started in February. You know, we're in now starting the conference dual meets are getting going. There's a bunch of them tonight, I believe. You've got Josh Lowe just started releasing his mid-season rankings, which are always fun to look at those. So it's definitely kind of at the point where you're starting to ramp toward the all the big things that happen in the second half of the regular season.
And we've got a lot to talk about on this week's program. Eric Burnett, the head coach of Elyria High, is going to join us. They're coming off a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, great performance by the team as a whole and by several individuals. Really stepped up at one of the toughest tournaments around at the Brecksville Holiday Tournament.
So again, Coach Burnett from Elyria will join us a little bit later on in the show. And don't forget, a little bit later on tonight, right here on WEOL, boys high school basketball in these frigid conditions. We'll get you indoors. It'll be Z Zoltai on the call. Willard at Vermilion tonight right here on WEOL. But for the next few minutes here on the station, we've got wrestling talk for you. It's the Cobos Insurance Center Weekly Wrestling Recap. It's presented by Century 21, Deanna Family Realty. Glad to have you with us on AM 930 WEOL. On your phone with the app and online at WEOL.com. Welcome back to our weekly wrestling recap on AM 930 WEOL on the WEOL mobile app and, of course, online at WEOL.com. Tim Elkhorn with AM 930 WEOL, joined by Sean Bennett from the Chronicle-Telegram each and every week. The two of us bring you news from Lorain County and Northeast Ohio wrestling. And our show is presented by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday night. And well, we are thrilled to have with us on the phone lines the head wrestling coach of the Elyria High Pioneers, Eric Burnett. He stops by to pay us a visit and talk a little bit about the Pioneer Wrestling Program as we now turn the page into the 2018 portion of the wrestling schedule. Eric, great to have you on. We appreciate you joining us for a few minutes tonight, and Happy New Year to you and yours.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you guys. Thanks for having us on Talk of Wrestling.
Well, I mentioned we turned the page into 2018. Now, of course, the wrestling season, as Sean and I were talking during the previous segment, you're really into this thing full bore now. But do you, as a coach, kind of look at the season in sections and say, okay, now that we've turned the page and we've entered the new year, here's kind of what we focus on?
Well, December's top-loaded for a reason. I mean, we can, you know, you get in there and you might take some lumps, but you kind of figure out what you need to work on, you know, as a team as well as individually. So I think December has served its purpose for us as far as, you know, where we need to go and what we need to work on. I think it's indicative of we we've made progress. I think the last tournament we had was better than the first two, and that's as far as the way we wrestled. So that's all you can expect.
Hey, Coach, we want to look back quick at the Brecksville Holiday Tournament. Obviously, three incredible performances with Dylan Shaver and Joshua Breeding winning championships, and Mick, your son, finishing third. Can you kind of talk about each one individually? Obviously, with Shaver and Breeding beating nationally ranked kids in their finals matches, and Mick bouncing back from a tough loss to Jordan Decatur, who's obviously ranked number 10 in the nation, and beating Gio De Sabato, who's the projected state champion in Division I, from Hilliard-Davidson in his placement match. You got to be pretty happy with those three guys.
Yeah, I mean, winning and winning matches is really cool, and especially for those guys. I mean, kids like to win, but I like the way we wrestled. I like the way that wrestling's it's an organized fight. You got to win battles in there, and as far as trying to finish a takedown or making sure you finish it or maybe fighting off a takedown, I liked our toughness. I think we were a little bit tougher this past weekend than we've been in the past, and of course that's not saying they're not tough, but I think they're really figuring it out as far as how to get tougher and how to win those battles in there, and if you win a whole bunch of those little battles in the match, then you should win the match, you would think. So that's what was impressive. I saw some things coming through for us as far as, our combinations, putting moves together, things like that. You know, they you would hope you'd see, earlier in the season, but unfortunately it doesn't always happen that way. So I just thought that, all three of those guys there, well, basically the whole team was fighting better. Breeding on top, his top game is really, it's always been pretty good. It's been real good, as a matter of fact, but I think he's trying to take it to another level right now, and that's what it seems to me. Shaver is a wrestling athlete. I don't know, and I told Shaver this the other day. I certainly wasn't being hypercritical, but I didn't think he did his best wrestling over the weekend, and to manage to still beat a number of tough opponents when he's not wrestling his best, I thought was really cool. So you can always take a positive out of there. I mean, I don't think Dylan wrestled poorly at all, but I think the best is yet to come for him, and it was impressive to see what he did. Mick getting a big win in the Conce semis, and then he gets a big win for third. I thought that was big. Sometimes, these kids, they lose in the semis or the quarters or wherever they lose in, they have a hard time getting it together again, and I thought Mick did a nice job staying mentally top.
With Mick beating De Sabato, who's ranked number one in his weight class right now, and I know Breeding he's ranked number four, and he's beaten all those three kids ahead of him at some time in his career. Is that a big mental edge to know that you've got to win over a kid that you may be considered an underdog against on the mat, to go in there thinking, I've already beat this kid, I just got to wrestle my best and I'll do it again?
Sure. Absolutely. I saw that both in high school when I was wrestling and when I was wrestling in college. So, yeah, I mean, I who these guys can beat. It's just a matter of them getting to these guys. You know what I mean? We go to the Ironman and maybe we drop a match to this kid over here from this school, and then he gets to wrestle, a tag or a shop or somebody like that. It's a matter of getting to these guys in. If you can make it happen, I'm very confident in our kids. I think that they can compete with just about anybody. But you have to be consistent. You have to put a good tournament together if you want to have those big matchups.
Again, we're talking with Eric Burnett, head wrestling coach at Elyria High School, as he joins us on WEOL as part of our weekly wrestling recap. And, Eric, we've talked about some of the wrestlers whose names certainly stand out in that Pioneer program. Is there a guy or two now that we've kind of turned the page, as we talked about in the 2018, that you're looking for a real strong second-half push?
Yeah, there are a few of the guys that are grinding. I mean, they're really working hard. They haven't necessarily seen the results they want to see yet. I mean, Enrique Munguia, he's a freshman. He's been wrestling 45-52 for us. Jimmy Schill, looking forward to getting him back. He broke his hand several weeks ago, and we're looking forward to getting him back in the lineup. He's been a mainstay with our team. He's been coming to every practice. He's been doing cardio. Hayden Rockman, he's a 60-pounder. We're looking forward to him turning the corner here because he's been grinding. Jake Evans is our 170. He's a ninth grader, and he's been he's been working real hard in practice, and he's had some success, not as much as he wants, but he's had some success. And then we're looking forward to getting some other guys back, guys like Farouk Muhammad. We're hoping to have him back tonight for our matches with Brunswick and Solon. He had to sit the first half of the season due to the transfer rule. Bryce Allison was one of our 106-pounders. We're going to have a wrestle-off when he comes back. He's been out with an injury. Colin Noel, who's wrestled 106 for us, has done a really, really nice job, especially for being a small 106. He is a scrapper, and he shows up every day, and he does the best he can do. So there's a lot of guys that, you know, I'm thinking are going to turn the corner here. At least I'm hoping they will.
I was going to ask about some of the lineup questions since you guys are heading into conference dual meets and things like that. So glad you already answered several on that. And I was pretty impressed that Bryce Allison moved from number 15 in the preseason rankings to number 11 without even really doing anything yet. So nice job by him. But obviously one of the big questions for Elyria coming into the season was that top end of the lineup. You know, you had, I think, five seniors out of those top six weights, and we're kind of wondering how that was going to flesh out. And you've had like a kind of a month, I guess, in the practice room to see some of the bigger guys. What do you kind of tell us about what's going to happen when you, you're in these dual meets as far as, like, you know, pretty much from 170 pounds up?
Well, we got, you know, Luis Aguilar is our 182-pounder. He had a successful offseason. He won a regional up in Michigan, and, you know, it's just a matter of him putting it together. He's a great athlete. You know, maybe he's adjusting to the weight. I know he came into wrestling because he's very heavy this year for being a 182-pounder. So I'm hoping, you know, he's just adjusting to the weight. And I look for big things from Luis. I have a lot of confidence in him. You know, Drew Levis is our 195. He's been wrestling forever. It's just a matter of him figuring out his body and you know, what style of wrestling is going to suit him best. But he is starting to figure it out. He won a couple of big matches at the Beast of the East. He won some matches at Brecksville. So, you know, if those two guys can kind of come around, you know, at 220, we're just so inexperienced. You know, it's one of those things where, we got a couple of guys that come into practice and they work real hard. They just don't know that much, you know. And I'm hoping to have Xavier Bell to get him healthy. And he's been sick here for the last few days. Hoping to get him ready to go 220. And then Kobe Thomas, he's a football player. He's a freshman this year. He's super young. And he's just trying to figure it out. I mean, he's a big kid. He's 288, 290 pounds. He can move his feet. You know, it's just a matter of learning how to wrestle and staying with it, staying confident and not getting down, you know, because I think he's going to have a bright future. So, you know, we got Jason, you know, big Jason Holmes. He weighs 340 pounds. I'm hoping to get him in for a match this year. But, if, you know, as you guys know, the weight limit is 285. And he's already dropped 25. Well, he's already dropped 30, 35 pounds. But the question is, will he get down to the weight? I don't know.
Wow, that's a story right there in itself. My goodness. Eric, we know you're a very, very busy guy, so we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us tonight on the Weekly Wrestling Recap. It's always a blast to talk Elyria High Wrestling, one of the premier programs in the state and around the country. Appreciate you spending a few moments with us, and I'm sure while it's the first, it's not going to be the last time we'll talk this year.
Well, thanks so much. Happy New Year, you guys, and thanks for everything you're doing for wrestling around here, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Eric. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Eric.
Eric Burnett, the head coach of the Elyria High Pioneers, joining us here on our weekly wrestling recap. And, man, that's an amazing story. But sounds like the young man is certainly putting in the effort to try to get out on the mats.
Yeah, that's we had that similar story with Vermillion last year. He came out and he ended up winning his debut. So yep. I would expect, an Elyria Burnett-trained kid to kind of, if he gets that weight down, I think he'll see some success on the mats.
That's a really cool story. All right, we got a couple of minutes left, Sean, as far as action on the mats this weekend. What are you looking forward to?
Well, the Penn City Invitational, as I said in the video, one of my favorites. I covered that several years now. Amherst, Avon Lake, and North Ridgeville all out there at Perry High. That'll be a Friday and Saturday tournament. The other all-weekend tournaments will be Vermillion at the Mansfield Invitational and Firelands at the Perrysburg Invitational. That's out in the Toledo area. The Perrysburg Invitational is awesome. So if you don't mind traveling out to the Toledo area, go check that out. Then the three one-day tournaments involving locals of the Elyria White or their second varsity team, Oberlin and Host Columbia, will be at the Columbia Invitational. So nice right here in Lorain County to get to. Brookside at the Janet Stammen Invitational at Woodridge High, and Keystone will be at the Plymouth Invitational on Saturday.
Oh, be a busy, busy weekend. This was a busy show. Man, good stuff. We thank Eric Burnett, head coach of Elyria High, for stopping by. Sure you'll have some coverage this weekend in the CT, correct?
Well, I'll have a Wrestler of the Week award. But other than that, I'm still on vacation, so I don't have a lot put together for this week, unfortunately. So, but I will be back to it next week. You will see a ton.
All right. Sounds good. And again, if you haven't seen the video, it got posted today. Check out the weekly wrestling video, courtesy of the Cobos Insurance Center. It's on the WEOL Facebook page, the Chronicle Facebook page and website and the like. So check out the video as well. John Bennett, we'll talk again next week.
All right, look forward to it.
Good stuff. We thank you much for dialing in to the Cobos Insurance Center weekly wrestling recap presented by Century 21 Deanna Family Realty on AM 930 WEOL. On your phone with the app, online at WEOL.com. And we welcome you back to the Cobos Insurance Center weekly wrestling recap presented by Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. Tim Alcorn with AM 930 WEOL. Sean Bennett from the Chronicle Telegram, who handles the wrestling beat for the CT. Glad you could join us on this very cold Thursday night here in the Lorain County area. But, Sean, as we mentioned, the action certainly was heating up on the mats last weekend following the Christmas holiday. A lot of guys got back into action, some dual meets and the like. What kind of caught your attention from last weekend?
Well, obviously, you know, you mentioned that Brecksville. We started off with the Brecksville tournament, and that's a big tournament. And Elyria, Midview, and Keystone from our area were in that tournament. And in the video, we kind of talked about Dylan Shaver and Joshua Breeding both beating nationally ranked kids to win their respective weight class championships, were pretty impressive. You know, obviously, Midview had a good run there as well. They only finished with one placer, and but that was Trevor Began, and he beat a couple of state-ranked kids to kind of get into the fifth place at 182 pounds, which I really expect big things out of Trevor this week as well. So it was kind of nice to see that and see Elyria kind of bouncing back after probably what they expected to do better at the Ironman and Beast of the East, but they've kind of gotten better and better as they've gone, and I really kind of expect the second half of the regular season for Elyria to be something special.
I want to go back to Trevor Began. This is a young man I know, even going back to our initial show at the Brew Kettle. High expectations for this wrestler from Midview.
Yeah, and I mean, he lost to a kid who's ranked number three in the state from Rootstown in the Conti Semis. But he beat Charles Sanders from Cincinnati Elder, who's ranked number eight in Division One. So that's a kid that he may have to face somewhere along the lines, maybe even down in Columbus at the state tournament. And it's nice to get a win under a potential, tough opponent under your belt.
So, again, hats off to Trevor Began, a guy that we didn't, or a team, I should say, a team that we didn't talk about in this week's video, Avon Lake. They were down in Wheeling, West Virginia, in the park duels, and they went 6-3.
Yeah, and they started going down there a couple years ago, and that's got to be fun for the kids and the families and even the fans that do decide to go down there, because you get to do a little traveling during the winter break. They went down there, they went 6-3 as a team, and kind of weird. There's always kind of weird stuff that happens in the sport of wrestling, but kind of a weird situation was this top end of their lineup just went nuts. Cutter Briggs at 195 pounds went undefeated at 9-0.
Wow.
Kyle Leach at weight class up at 220 went 8-1, and Max Whitman, their heavyweight at 285, went 8-1. So those last three weight classes were on fire. So they finished strong. Well, maybe finished strong, because in dual meets, sometimes they start in the middle of the lineup, sometimes they start at the end. But yeah, they had three in a row there that where they just could count on every time they stepped on the mat.
Sean, in previous weeks on this show, you've talked about how at many schools you'll see that lower end wrestler, the lighter weights, and then the real heavier guys. But for Avon Lake, it appears as though it was those top three as far as the weight classes are concerned.
Yeah, and it's not unusual. It's weird that you see a lower weight, like a 106 and a heavyweight, both be great on the team. But it happens all the time, but it's odd. But it's not unusual to see guys grouped together like that, the 195, the 220, and the 285 all being good, because those are generally guys who are wrestling each other in the practice room. So generally, if you got a good guy at a weight, the guys around him become better because he's pushing them and making them better and showing them things to make them better wrestlers. So that's not surprising that those three would be good because they're probably all pushing each other when they're practicing against each other.
Again, that's Sean Bennett from the Chronicle Telegram joining me, Tim Elkhorn, on our weekly wrestling recap brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. And again, if you haven't seen the video that we put out every week, it was released earlier today. So go to the Chronicle's website or Facebook page, the WEOL website and Facebook page. You can check out the video where we talk some wrestling as well. Sean, I want to move on because Josh Lowe has released his midseason rankings for Division One and Division Two. Talk a little bit about what jumped out from Josh Lowe's first rankings.
Well, we had a couple local athletes make their debut. They weren't in the preseason rankings, and they've done enough in Josh's eyes to kind of be ranked, state-ranked, here at the midway point. So that was kind of impressive. One of them is Zach Anderson from Midview, a junior at 113 pounds. He's at number 16 in the state now. So that's a really impressive. Another weapon for Sean Bristow and the Middies because they already had several guys state ranked already. So and he's a little bit lower in the lineup. So it's nice to kind of see some movement along that lineup as far as guys being high level. Another one is Khalil Brown from Lorain. And he's a senior for the Titans who is debuting at number 16 in the state at 132 pounds. So it's good. Again, like I said, Lorain kind of came in without those heavy, the people with the state rankings and the state placements and things like that. And you've got Khalil Brown, you've got Sean Petty Jr., you got a couple of names there who they're hoping that will catch fire and maybe get Lorain back into the state tournament and, get some state-level prominence for them, because that is a program that definitely, has had a great, rich history with, the people they're feeding in, the Admiral King and the Southview and the old Lorain High and stuff like that. So Khalil Brown makes his debut as well, so that's nice. In Division Two, Peyton Bergdorf dropped a spot. He was a projected state finalist at number two, and he's now number three. And I know you. I can see the look on your face. You're like, how could that happen? He's undefeated. He's been knocking off, state places left and right. Well, what happened was Cale Woods of West Holmes, who's one a high level wrestler as well, was ranked number three at 113 pounds in the preseason. He actually has dropped 106 pounds, and Josh placed him in at the number two spot ahead of Bergdorf. Doesn't mean anything, obviously, because Bergdorf has been knocking off guys that he hasn't been expected to knock off all season long. So when they have to potentially face off against each other, I would put my money on Bergdorf. I think he's possibly going to make it into the state. And again, the other thing is, it's weird when you get into the state bracket. Sometimes the number one and two guys are on the same half of the bracket. So it's very possible that those two guys will end up having to face each other in the semifinals or ahead of time, whereas Bergdorf might be the highest-ranked kid even at number three on his half of the bracket and be able to hold that seed and make it into the final anyway.
So again, Division One and Two are out. Division Three, Josh Lowe's rankings to be released a little bit later on. Anything you're anticipating there?
No. I mean, I it's hard to say because, Josh, I think Josh's focus is on Division One. He's watches, he goes to a lot of tournaments where Division One competition is going. So I think his Division Three, he's looking through internet rankings and stuff like that. And I'm sure he sees, Division Three competition, but he generally goes where the big teams and the big names and the big competition are. So I think Division Three generally will look similar to what he, well, I don't know, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you'll see more movement, more change because he didn't know as much going into the preseason and he's learned through watching, looking at tournament results and things that there's some kids that maybe he didn't know about something. So I don't know, it's kind of a wild card to see what might happen with those Division Three rankings when they're released later tonight. Sometime tonight he's supposed to release them, he hopes.
And I'm sure, just like in football, in the computer points, I mean, these are rankings these kids are going to keep an eye on, whether it's motivation or just to see who's up, who's down. I'm sure they take a look at these every week.
Yeah, there's two certainties when it comes to the sport of wrestling. Number one, every wrestling coach tells their wrestlers not to look at the rankings. Number two, every wrestler looks at the rankings.
Right.
So, it's definitely funny because these guys want to see, I remember the I remember Ben Darmstadt during his senior year was on Josh Lowe all year round. Every tournament he saw Josh Lowe, he was over there on him about where his national ranking was. Why wasn't he ranked number two? Why wasn't he ranked number one when he was beating the number one kid and at Beast of the East and this and that? And it was funny because they definitely take pride in having those rankings and where they're at in the rankings.
In the end, comes down to what you do on the mats.
That's
though.
Correct, right?
All right, we're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to talk to Elyria Pioneer wrestling coach Eric Burnett. He'll stop by to pay us a visit on the recap, talk a little Pioneer wrestling as far as what's going on with the Elyria program. So stay with us. It's the Cobos Insurance Center Weekly Wrestling Recap, presented by Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. Glad you've joined us on this Thursday night right here on AM 930 WEOL, on your phone with the WEOL mobile app, and we're online at WEOL.com.